Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. It's Ghosts of Boyfriends Pastime.
Hello, everyone. Tom Harris and Elizabeth Best, your hosts here on the show.
Yes, and we're here today with a mini-sode for your listening pleasure. That sounds sus.
Your oral pleasure.
That's oral, not oral.
Straight into your ears. Get it. We're going to tingle those little hairs in your ears with some... No?
We're running away with this and it's gotten completely away from us.
Oh, boy.
Today we are doing the agony aunt and uncle thing. We're going to answer questions that either you've sent in or that we found on the internet and just kind of give you some advice on what you should be doing, because we're pros at this by now.
That's right. We've racked up some skills, some input, some knowledge and some advice, and it's going to be all things dating, breakups, first dates, et cetera, et cetera.
Romance, marriage, cheating.
All in something.
Everything. But first, what I wanted to do is we've received a lovely wave of reviews on our podcast. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to read out a couple of our fun little 5-star reviews just to kind of say thank you to the people that left them very quickly. So the first one is one of my favorites from, and I don't know how to pronounce this, this handle, but it's TIQGOB, Tick Gob. I don't know. Anyway, This review says it's titled "Love It Despite the Red Flags," which kind of made me panic when I first saw the headline. But let's read on. It says, "When we are apart, I worry that you won't come back. When you are due to arrive for our weekly date, I compulsively check my messages. That one time you were late, I worried that I'd done something wrong and you'd left me. Please don't leave me. I can change." In all seriousness, this podcast is one of the highlights of my week. I think it's also making me a better partner. Communicate, folks. Using our slogan too.
Right. Well, listen, reader. We're always going to be there for you, okay?
Always.
But you have to be mindful of the expectations you're putting on us, okay? We're putting a show out once a week for you, okay? And we would love to do more, but you got to think about our workload and everything. So once a week, okay, that's all we ask. We'll always be here, but we're not going anywhere.
And look, sometimes we're going to be late because that's who we are. But the fact that you love us despite these or because of these little flaws and fuck ups that we do makes our little hearts sore.
Yes, but thank you for reaching out. That's very sweet of you.
And I'll do one more from Rizzo Smizzo. This is another 5-star review. "New fan" is the headline. "I love listening to this show. The hosts appeal to my sense of humor. And amongst the laughs, you get some sound relationship tips and insights. Worth a listen to. Get around it."
There we go.
Get around it.
Quite succinct.
So we're going to give you some of that advice right now. Tom, would you like to start with an opening question?
Absolutely. I think you and I forget that there are people in the world who are right now only new to dating and new to everything. So what are some good questions to ask on a first date? What do you want to know? How do you go about it?
I think, first of all, make sure that there's a good balance between asking and answering questions, because you don't want to make the other person just talk about themselves. But at the same time, you don't want to just be talking about yourself either.
Absolutely.
But just kind of see if there's common interests. Just asking the questions like, what kind of things are you into? I always have a hard no on religion or politics first date.
Leave that out. You don't want
to... I feel like if they don't share the same values as me on those topics, it will become apparent from other answers to other questions. But in my experience, and I have talked I'm pretty sure I've talked politics on a first date and it just bombed. The whole fucking thing went down in flames. You can't have a non-heated discussion. And even if you are on the same page, you just get angry at how messed up the world is. So it's not a good idea, I think.
So leave the political discourse out of it on the first date.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I think... searching my sense memory of first dates, I think I'm looking for them to like the movie, to laugh at the same things I laugh at, and it's music, and it's that's your starting point, isn't it? Your not so much hobbies, but interest, and what do you like to listen? What do you like to watch? All those common areas.
And I feel like if a first date's going well, you won't need to be thinking, what question shall I ask next? Because it's just the banter that stems from all of these kinds of chats that you're having, you know, should stem from there. I also like to avoid spending too much time talking about jobs, because a lot of people will open with, so what do you do? And that question's fairly loaded for me, because there's my 9-to-5, but I also have a whole bunch of creative stuff as well. But I don't want to focus on the money aspect.
Of course. I think a good way of getting around the what do you do question is sort of like, what's your day like, or talk
me
through your day.
That's a much better way of asking that.
And then they go like, well, I get up in the morning and I have muesli, and you're like, you eat muesli too? Oh my god, I didn't know you're such an old man as well.
Yes.
I will not have muesli bashing here, sorry.
I love muesli. I am full on the muesli train.
And I think also you can ask sort of big questions and gauge from their reaction, and that how they respond will tell you about themselves. Like questions like, what would you do if you won $5 million?
Yeah,
and
those
you can get to those bigger
randomy kind of. And there was another one, I went on this speed dating thing once where they had like question cards on the table for you to kind of, so that you didn't have to think about it, you could just pick one up and be like, okay. There was one question about, it was, how would you do in the zombie apocalypse, which I'm a big fan of that question, and I, you know, it kind of gets you to tell them a bit about yourself, where they're like, oh no, I'd be hopeless, I'm clumsy, I fall over all the time, like it absolutely wouldn't work. Or someone would be like, no, like I as long as I had some brawn with me, I've got the smarts to out strategy zombies kind of thing.
Yes.
Like it promotes conversations that get you to tell people about yourself without being like, well, I'm really clumsy, or, you know, without it, it's a fun way of revealing stuff about yourself.
That's, do you want to hear my answer?
Yes.
I agree with you. Do you want to hear my answer?
Yes.
I don't want to survive any apocalypse.
At all?
Not at all. Because when the rebuilding of society comes around and 200 people are gathered and we are the last, they're not going to be going, we need consultants and actors and comedians. Step forward. I have no skills. They're not going to go, podcast hosts,
to the front.
I have no skills. And that's after you've survived the hellscape, the nuclear thing, the zombie apocalypse. That's after you've already done all that hard work. Not worth it.
Look, my
take
idea
me out
would
in the
be
first
to
wave.
Grab my friends or people that I care about or who could strategically help me survive and go find somewhere to live completely off-grid so that I wouldn't have to deal with the society anymore.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not really a dating question. That's a zombie apocalypse question for another podcast. So I have another general kind of question for you.
Yes.
How do you deal with your ex seeing somebody new if you're on good terms?
If you're on good terms.
Yeah. So like obviously if your ex is seeing somebody new and you hate them with the fire of 1,000 burning suns, you curse their name and, you know, like bitch about it to everyone that you know. But if you're supposed to be friends, but you feel yucky about it, how do you approach that?
That's a tricky one. I can kind of relate to this. My last lady friend, my ex, and I, we broke up on really good terms, very quite amicable, and we both understood, and it was all very good. And then seeing her with someone else, it hurts. It does hurt you.
Yeah.
Because even though you've laid out all the dot points of why you've got to break up and why it's got to end, just seeing them with someone else, you're like, no,
mine.
No.
But not mine.
Can't be happy with anyone else. So it's on you to sort of own it. And if you are truly happy for, you know, if you truly still love them in a wholesome humanity way, and you still respect them and you still care for them, then you have to be able to go, okay, they're happy now, I can't control that, you know, you've sort of got to come to peace with it on your own terms. That depends. If I suppose it's different if you're still talking and having to communicate with this ex. You have to see them face to face and deal with it. I didn't have to do that, so I was sort of okay. But it is a tricky one. It always takes longer than you think and you want it to as well. I think coming to peace with it.
So my rule is I take it a step back from it. My belief is that if you would still take this person back or have any type of feelings that in the future at some point you'll get back together, you can't be friends with this person in your life in a regular basis.
Yes, so that won't work.
I feel like if you're on good terms and you genuinely get that pang but you don't want to be with them, then take your advice, Tom, which is just to kind of like deal with it in a mature way.
Rationalize
it with your brain that, you know, keep intellectualizing the reasons why.
Yes.
But I know a few people who are just like, oh my God, my ex is seeing someone new and they still carry slight torch for that person.
Yes.
I think that's the point. You need to cut ties for a little while.
Yes, you need, yeah. If it's, yeah, it's over. It's you are ex-boyfriend and ex-girlfriend or whatever. And they have someone new. Yeah, but you still carry a little torch for them.
Yeah,
you
even
have
if
to
it's the tiniest little flame, I think you need to give yourself space from that situation, or it'll crush you.
Yes, it'll over time, day by day, it's a death by a thousand cuts.
It really is. The having to smile and be like, "Oh my God, hi,
yeah,
how
fine.
Are you guys? You're such a cute couple." No.
Where are we? Another question from me, I believe.
Yep.
Have you ever faced resistance to hand-holding, holding hands?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
It does crop up every now and then.
Yeah, I got called needy for wanting to hold hands in public.
Yeah.
It made me feel really, because like for me, my love language is, one of them is physical touch, right? So if somebody refuses to show, I don't want someone to like shove their tongue down my throat in the middle of a group of people, but if you won't show me little signs of affection in public, I don't believe that you love me. I don't know how to say it any other way.
It's kind of black and white
like
that.
It's a big deal for me because that's one of my chief love languages. And I've had, you know, situations in my past where I've thought that somebody was trying to hide me as a girlfriend because they weren't being affectionate in public, even though they're just not affectionate people. So, again, it's another thing of, I guess, both partners being on the same page, read the other person's love language and knowing that sometimes you have to do stuff. Like, I don't, you know, like if the hand-holding's not their thing, sometimes you have to deal with no hand-holding. But if it is your thing, they should also cough up with the hand-holding every now and then.
Yep, right, yep.
You got to compromise on this shit.
I think you should hold, my general rule is hold your girlfriend's hand, damn it, you know, every now and then. I run hot.
I get sweaty palms.
Yes, I sweat like a safe cracker. And so you can still do
edge of fingers intertwining.
The hand holding will be brief, but it'll be sort of a constant brevity throughout our life.
Your arm around her for a little bit. That's right. Or you gotta stop to give her a little smooch and then keep going so you don't have to touch sweaty palms.
But
I don't know.
Generally, I'm pro hand holding because when you're out and about, it's something to do with at least one of your hands. You don't have to worry about what you're doing with your hands in public.
Yeah, I know. Awkward hand people. This is a good thing. You've
great.
Automatically got a job for one of your hands.
So if you're an awkward hand positioner, don't despair. Hand holding is maybe the solution for you. But yes, you have faced resistance to hand holding.
Yeah,
yes.
I have, and I'm not down with it. As one of my love languages, it makes me feel really like someone's ashamed of me.
Yeah, right.
Or not, or wanting to appear single. Like, that could be partially my baggage, but you've got to meet someone in the middle.
We'll go through that baggage on another day.
Okay, I have another question. So, the terms office wife and husband are pretty loosely used in popular culture and in my company, and I'm pretty sure I know what an emotional affair is. So, where's the line between it's okay and it's cheating? So is having an office wife some kind of a lesser affair? Is an office couple that are open to all their colleagues about their close friendship, do they need to tell the real spouse? I know that's awkwardly worded, but basically what they're asking is, do you agree with the whole calling someone an office wife, an office husband, and at what point does that cross the lines into not being okay? I believe that's what the question is.
Okay. I'm kind of struggling with the concept. So it's someone at work.
No,
this is brand new.
I've had before, like, I, one of my besties at my old job I used to refer to as my work wife. Like, I am very straight. So obviously it was, I'm not very straight. I'm straight.
Yes.
There's a spectrum, people.
Yes.
And I've referred, you know, it's just somebody who you constantly, like, I don't know, how do I describe this?
So it's an emotional.
It's like your work bestie, but you just call them office, you know, work wife or work husband. But when that happens of you know, couples of the gender that you see, like that you're currently in a relationship.
Right. So I say to my girlfriend at home, "Hey, I'm off to do the podcast with my work wife."
Exactly.
That's it. Okay,
yeah,
I understand. Right.
And so at what point does that cross the line? And I think that depends on what your partner's boundaries are. I don't think like, because I've had, I've had a boyfriend who's referred to someone as their work wife, and I kind of would joke with that. Like, we'd bitch about him at Christmas party because, like, what else do work wife and home wife do together? I basically think, and my rule has always been thusly, if there's something that you wouldn't do with your actual partner standing next to you, that is when a line has been crossed.
Yes.
And I think that that's such a good blanket rule that if you genuinely have like a work wife or a work husband and everything's above board, then literally every interaction that you have with them should be able to be viewed, seen, heard by your partner with no one getting upset.
Yeah, that's the cut and dry of it. Just because you put the phrase work wife on it doesn't mean that they're your actual wife to flirt with, who you get to send dirty messages to.
No, you don't get that kind of privilege. It's more like a, you know, like a, you, the person that you're close to. It's like, it's your work bestie, but it's a funny way of saying it, I guess.
And we are to understand that the label, the work wife label, is purely, it's friend, it's fun, it's cutesy.
As long as it is that.
Yes, and that's what it should be.
Yeah,
and that's what,
exactly. Okay. If it's cutesy and it's just someone that you like besties with, as long as you're, it's not considered an affair in my mind, as long as your other partner agrees with it. If they're not comfy with the term, then stop using it. Easy, end of.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, cool. All right, so that's done us for our advice for this week. Hopefully you've benefited from it, and if not, soz.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry our free podcast doesn't give you all the answers to the universe.
Oh, it's our free podcast, not solving all of your problems. So, well, sorry.
All right, we're going to cut the sarcasm there, and just thank you all for listening. If you do love it more than average, give it a rate, give it a like, give it a review, subscribe, do all the things.
We might read out some of your five-star reviews in future episodes, so leave us a review, and if it tickles our fancy, we'll read it out on air and give you a shout out. Otherwise, you can find us on all our social medias. We've got our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy group, and if you want to be a guest on one of our, I keep saying maxi-sodes and I don't like it, episodes.
Not comfortable with the wording there.
No, if you want to be a guest on one of our main episodes, you can go to thatsnotcanon.com/ Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. But in the meantime, keep writing in your stories and questions.
Hello. I hope you enjoyed / are enjoying / will enjoy whatever podcast I'm in right now. Once you're finished with it, why not pop on over to Broadway and Other Kiwi Dreams, a podcast exploring the lives and minds of theatre practitioners in and around the New Zealand performing arts industry. Join me, James Shearer, in a deep dive into what makes this industry tick. You'll hear conversations with some of the top names in the Aotearoa performing arts scene and beyond, from the up-and-coming to the big Shorty Street stars. So, if you're into the performing arts, come on over to Broadway and Other Kiwi Dreams. Because no two journeys are the same, and wherever you are in yours, I hope we can inspire you to soldier on and keep following your Kiwi dreams.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.